Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, August 19th, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside GameSpot's Tamor Hussein. Hello, Tam!
What up, everyone? Thank you for having me back yet again. I am honored to be here.
Well, I'm honored to be here and do something I don't usually get to do. Usually at Kinda Funny, when we cancel something, Tim gets to cancel it. But I'm happy to be here to cancel Tim Tam Thursdays. All right? I'm happy to be here to shake it up and say, Tim, hit the bricks. Now, what's our name, Tam? Because you guys have logos. You have all this different fun stuff. We got to come up with a combination.
I just saw a good one in chat. It's Tamari.
A Tamari is pretty good.
I like it.
Because the Greggy part?
Gregory.
Gregory.
Do you go by Gregory? Ever
now, Graham of Legend says Tam over Greggy. That ain't bad.
Tam over Greggy is pretty good. Also, we said Greg Moore earlier, but like that's kind of weird.
Yeah, Matt says it's Miller Tam, like it's Miller time.
It's Miller time. That's pretty good. I like that, but
I do like that.
Yeah, that's good. If we did like Tam Miller, that could be like a Metal Gear character.
That's true.
It's like Kaiser Miller, Tam Miller.
I'm writing down as Miller Tam. I don't want to forget that.
Miller Tam's good. Yeah.
Tam, how the hell are you? I've never hosted this show with you. I don't think.
Yeah, this is the first for us. Yeah. Have we been on anything together? No.
You've been on Gamescast or something with us, right?
No, I've not been on Gamescast yet.
You've been on streams.
I've been on streams with you. Yeah. Okay. So we've been on that, but never done Games Daily. And I'm excited to do it with you. I've been good. Still living life in the UK begrudgingly.
Sure.
Praying that I can get back to the East Bay, San Francisco soon.
Sure. But is there any light at the end of the tunnel on that though?
Hopefully soon. I can only say soon. I don't want to say anything. I've never been a superstitious person.
Sure, you don't change it, though.
But now, like after going through this process, I have become a superstitious person. Because every time I've thought, I think we're good, it's gone like completely off the rails. So I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to let it happen and hope. But my hope is like by the end of the year, if we're lucky.
Okay. We're all here. We're pulling for you. We're hoping for you. Don't worry about that. M. Frizzy in the Twitch chat calls you out. You are a liar. You were on the Bloodborne PS I Love You XOXO. So there you go.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. I don't know what time is anymore. Time's a flat circle.
Do you know that? First off, it's a big deal. I'll do the housekeeping in a second, but our Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut review is up as a new games cast, right? Lucy James is on that. Kept her ass up for like 12:30 her time.
I think she was like, I think that's Sopranos Hour, if I know.
It is. That's what she said on the show. Yeah, this is usually Sopranos Hour. No, not for her.
Yeah. So good. You denied her some Sopranos. It gives me a little bit of time to catch up to her.
Oh, are you watching alongside her now?
I haven't started yet, but I'm going to poop sock it one day. Like in the next couple of days, I'll probably just like
one more time.
Poop suck it. You never heard of poop sucking?
No. You're gonna poop suck it.
Poop sock.
Poop socket. Okay, no, I still don't know that. I still don't know.
No, yeah, that honestly, that scares me more.
I'm sure you can figure it out. I believe who did I hear first mention it? I think it might have been Brian Altano who said that I heard it first. But it's the idea of being so dedicated to something that you never leave to even to poo. Instead, you poop into the sock.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
I've never been that dedicated to anything in my entire life.
Thank God.
And no, it wasn't Brian O'Toole. It was Sean Elliott on GFW radio back in the day, the one-up days. Get ready for some poop sucking, everyone. Get high.
Ladies and gentlemen, get your socks out because we have a hell of a show for you. It's Miller Tam. Today we're talking about the Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut reviews being in, the Cyberpunk DLC seeming lackluster, and the fact that CES needs you to get vaccinated. We'll tackle all this and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can get the show with the exclusive post-show we do each and every weekday. And of course, you get a bevy of other benefits for things like the Kinda Funny Games Cast, the Next Gen Podcast, and so much more, all on patreon.com/kindafunnygames. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can be watching us record the show live, just like Just According, Jacob Stoddy, and the Singer Bro all are. Singer Bro says, we want more Grammore.
Oh, Grammore. It sounds like a cracker. It's like Graham cracker.
Yeah. It reminds me of Grim Grimoire. Remember that PS2 game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, listening on podcast services around the globe, watching over on Rooster Teeth, and everywhere else you can get this show, no matter where you get Kinda Funny Games Daily. Thank you for your love, your support, your appreciation. Please like it, subscribe it, share it, leave a review, do all that stuff. If you're driving in your car right now, roll up to that coffee shop, get yourself a latte, and scream inside, everybody, listen to Kinda Funny Games Daily! Then drive away without paying.
Don't do that. You'll get arrested for that.
I mean, if they have to catch you first, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you're confident in your escape abilities, then definitely do it because it will be incredible. And make sure you record yourself doing it because that's a hell of a TikTok, especially if it's the first TikTok.
Tell you can't do that, but, you know.
Yeah. Don't worry about that.
Legally, we're saying do not do that. We are not promoting that. Do not do it.
We're not promoting that at all.
Wink.
That week is unrelated.
It's Miller's ham. Housekeeping for you. Like I said, GameSpot's Lucy James is over on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Podcast services around the globe for the new Gamescast. Of course, she is there talking to us while we review Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut and then joins us for our 12 minutes review. If that wasn't enough, we also have an interview in there about the Games and Online Harassment Hotline. It is a jam-packed show, and all it took was cutting the dead weight that is Tim and Andy. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by Canva, HBO Max, and KiwiCo, but I'll tell you about them later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. More items on the Roper Report. Oh, wow. Turn that battery down. Yeah. Kevin, I like you. How you doing? How are you, Kevin? I feel like I haven't talked to you in forever, Kevin. I haven't done this show in forever.
I'm tired. I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Tell him about the neck thing, Kevin.
Oh, I went to Sonoma this weekend and they had down pillows in the hotel that I was in, but they weren't like overly stuffed. So my head fucking flat on the damn bed. And I'm just having some neck issues.
Okay.
It hasn't gotten better. And I don't understand. Did cavemen have pillows? Like, we must have been, like, at some point in humanity. Mm-hmm. We must have been like, no, it's fine. We don't need pillows.
Yeah.
But like, I feel so far away.
You got an arm.
Yeah, I guess so. The arm would have been the thing, right? That's what you see in a lot of. Arms are very, they're not comfortable either.
Yeah.
No, you're a caveman. You're sleeping in a cave. What? You didn't even need to know what's up.
I think they had a bunch of leaves
or something. Maybe like lamb stomach stuffed with leaves.
Or like someone punched an ostrich and like subdued it and
to
sleep on that.
We have somebody in our Rolodex that would be know this, right?
Ostriches seem really comfortable.
Who would know this? I would have gone for Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin would have been my go-to. Yeah. He's more about the animal kingdom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kevin, what does snakes sleep on?
The dirt.
See, there you go.
I'm going to Google it. Did cavemen have pillows?
I'm looking up the history of pillows.
Pillows became a high status thing in late medieval Europe, and we did not evolve to need pillows.
You see,
in many cultures throughout history, people have not had pillows, or pillows were only for the elite. In the middle, I'm telling you, the picture they've got with this pillow is awful. It's a literal stone that they've carved a shape out of. It is horrifying.
Yeah, put in assets or whatever.
Oh, Slack, my God. I'll put it in
Slack.
No, yeah. I'll chuck it into the Slack now.
While you do that, of course, I want to go over to the Twitch chat here where Dark Knight 6678 says, you talked to Kevin yesterday, Greg, and then Dustin JB says, for a while, too, trying to get him to try into Avengers. Guys, that's content. That's not me talking to Kevin. I didn't know this thing about the pillow. I didn't know this thing about Sonoma. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm trying to get Kevin through some hoops for Avengers. That doesn't let me into his life. I don't know what's happening over there. It's a difference.
I put it in the GF, KFGD channel. You got God. It's a web. Why do people do this?
While everybody works on that, I'll also begin the Roper Report with the first story. We have Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut reviews rounding up right now. The Metacritic sits at an 87 when I did this at 9 a.m. If you're paying attention, the 2020 version of Ghost of Tsushima has an 83 on Metacritic, meaning that 83 was a nonsense Metacritic. We all know that was underrated. That is some bullshit. And it's nice to see a lot of reviewers here eating crow and apologizing to Sucker Punch in this game. We're going to start at Push Square, where Push Square gave it a 9. Robert Ramsey wrote, Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut amplifies an already excellent open-world game. The Iki Island expansion is worth the price of admission alone, providing another chunk of stunning Japanese landscape for Jin to explore, while also digging into the protagonist's past. A fantastic range of story missions and side quests make for a memorable offshore excursion, and put alongside the main campaign, Ghost of Tsushima now stands as a PS4 and PS5 must buy. Did you find this pillow? Are we all set, Kevin? You want to show the pillow?
Sorry. Give me one second.
It's there. It's there. It's definitely there.
I see it. I see it here, and this thing looks horrifying. Holy, it looks like a tooth.
It's horrifying.
It looks like somebody's laying on a tooth, and I don't like that one.
That is a bad one.
Sorry.
Cavemen tried.
In the future, links are always better. Because then I
tried, but it was one of those like massive broken
this
links.
Job you don't even have. Is that what you want?
Damn. My bad.
This is tail on here. I got it.
There it is. Look at this. That's the pillow they slept on.
That's the OG pillow. That is OG pillow. Like,
traded their children for this pillow.
What is the line of thinking here? Like,
imagine being
the
like
bed soft.
I don't think so. I think ground and that. But like, imagine being like, I'm an elite member of society now, and then you get a stone pillow. Oh my god!
The thing about it is, though, I've seen on YouTube a couple times now. I've seen I get the ad for this like cube pillow this guy's trying to sell you.
Yeah.
When he's like, it's not about like having a pillow like you already have. It's about giving you neck support, and that's what that would give.
Aren't they there's some controversy with that company, right? I think there might be some controversy.
Of course there is. There's controversy with it.
Because it sucks that I really, like, I'm not going to lie, Greg. Every single time I see that ad, I'm like...
He's making some good points.
The math's making a lot of sense. The math's making a lot of sense here.
That's the thing is, like, if you can come with a good argument, I'll buy anything. I remember way back in the day when I was still living with Colin in the spare bedroom place and Steimer was there. Mm-hmm. We were coming from a trip and it was like 4 a.m. It was like a red eye and we started watching here's a indoor deep fryer, here's the thing to have on your countertop and we're like, this is stupid. Cut to an hour and a half later, we like landed and I'm like, I'm gonna order this deep fryer. This thing sounds great. And I made delicious wings and turkeys left and right.
The fact that you said it's an indoor deep fryer implies that there's an outdoor deep fryer.
Oh yeah,
that's you're supposed to have, right? Yeah, like a turkey fryer, so that if it boils over. And
if you're frying a turkey, Tam, you got to do it.
You
got to
go outside. Okay.
The thing about this fryer I had is you didn't need to. There was no open flame for it to go anywhere.
Mm.
It was a brilliant thing. Stunk up the whole house, but I fucking had a turkey that was deep fried. It was great.
Is this thing still on sale? Because I might be interested now.
Probably. I had to get rid of it. It was one of those things I wasn't using enough. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Because you either fully commit to I'm frying everything, or it's just taking up counter space or under the storage space. And I was
like, I get you.
Let's go to GameSpot. They gave Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut an 8. Over there, Phil Hornshaw writes, all of what Iki Island brings to Ghost of Tsushima is good, if you already like Ghost of Tsushima. The base game's issues remain, however, so if Sucker Punch's take on the open world didn't thrill you before, don't expect this new content to change your mind. You'll still wrestle with the camera during combat, especially as Mongols come flooding at you from all sides. And while Iki Island is a fun place to explore, it's littered with a lot of the same by-the-number open-world activities and collectibles. Expect to chase down a bunch of collectible flags and lore items, climb a few lighthouses, and try your hand at a few archery challenges. None of these activities is especially engaging, and while the side quests provide some good variety in their stories, requirements, and locations, the island still has its share of busy work scattered around. Where Iki Island excels, though, is in adding some new dimensions to the rest of Ghost of Tsushima. Its exploration of Jin's backstory and his character bring more depth to the base game's tale that improve it overall. And its beautiful new landscape provides both more of what works about Vanilla Ghost and a few good, if slight, tweaks on the formula. Nothing is a drastic departure, but it's a lot more of the good stuff, refreshing Sucker Punch's already solid open-world game and providing some interesting reasons to revisit it.
And then finally, we go to IGN.com, who also gave it an 8. Mitchell Saltzman writes, if more Ghost of Tsushima is what you want, the Iki Island expansion is exactly that. It provides another compelling story that dives deep into Jin's past, a new and absolutely gorgeous island to explore that's full of meaningful collectibles, and a couple of challenging additions to combat in the form of enemies that force you to think on your feet even more than before. The quest design is disappointingly familiar to everything we've already played in the main game, but any opportunity to revisit the stunning world the Sucker Punch has made is one worth taking. Tam, have you played Director's Cut? And if not, are you going to?
I have not played it yet, but I will be playing it. I got my copy of it downloaded, or I have it downloading. So I'm excited to check it out. I really like the original Ghost of Tsushima. I think a lot of what people have said about it, especially what Phil over at GameSpot said, because obviously you got to pimp my own people. But also what Mitchell said is like on point. Like, I really loved it, but it has its... Ghost of Tsushima has its fair share of open world bloat and fluff. And the thing that I'm excited about is choosing not to engage with it this time. One, because I think I've grown as a person. And I think I've reached a point now where I'm like, I value my time more than following this fox around to something that I probably won't care about eventually. Sure. But also because since it seems to be the same kind of, same flavor of like fluff to extra stuff to do, I feel good about leaving it and not getting any specific FOMO about it.
Sure.
So, but because of that and everything I've heard about the actual Iki Island stuff and its characterization and, you know, filling in some color around Jin's past is really, really exciting to me. I'm super, super eager to play it. I think it's kind of like going to get bumped up to the top of my playlist. And I also didn't check out any of the multiplayer stuff when the it came. Yeah, yeah. So I'm like super keen on checking some of that out as well. But yeah, I'm definitely going to play it.
So yeah, full thoughts are up for us over on the Gamescast. Please go check it out, because it's me, it's Mike, it's Blessing, it's Lucy, all talking about this. I loved this. I've beaten the Iki Island expansion. It took me, you know, about 3 hours or whatever. And I was in a similar boat to you, where I was like, cool, I've done it. When you transfer your save over to the PS5 version, I had the platinum in PS4. It popped me another platinum here. And so then it was that thing of like, cool, I don't think I'm that motivated to necessarily go do everything again. And I was like, War for Wakanda's out. I'm going to go over and start playing that. And then it was that thing of like, but I'm sure I love the gameplay of, and I got drawn back into Ghost and I went back and I started clearing the island again. Like, I love that. And I think this, you know, one of my complaints as somebody who loved Ghost of Tsushima the first time around, but by the end of it, when it was like, all right, cool, I'm on my 40th of 42 fox dens, I was like, I don't need this, right?
Yeah.
I like that they shook it up a bit here. And they gave, it's 9 total animal dens. It's 3 different. It's like 3 cats, 3 deers, etc. Like, you get that shaken up a bit. And then there's a bunch of cool Easter eggs that I don't want to spoil in there that I think PlayStation fans are really going to like when they get into it. The Iki Island expansion itself, the story of what you're talking about, does a lot for Jin. And then I think the antagonist you're fighting against, the eagle, is really interesting. And I don't know how much you've heard about her, Tam, but I would really be interested to see your take as a Batman fan on what you
I'm excited. That's the other thing that I want to check out. Like, based on the reviews I've seen, the eagle seems to be a real good, like, Colton Khan was fine, but it was a very vanilla type of villain, right? It was like, I'm about to ruin your house.
He was well acted, right? I hated that guy.
Very, very well acted, yeah, but like not particularly, you know. Remember when they first introduced the game and there was a trailer and Kotal Kahn was like, I've learned your language and I've studied the way you, and it was like, oh, this is like a mastermind level schemer that we're dealing with here. And then you play the game and he's not really,
he's
like
always
that.
One step ahead of you, he's always getting out of there. And yeah,
not really in the main game. He's like, aha, I've stolen your uncle, come and get him. and it's like, okay, cool. And like, I was kind of like not missing it, but like, I lamented the fact that it wasn't more of like a mind game type thing where you could like be like, I'm outwitting you in both like in battle and in like strategy. But it sounds like the new villain is more of that, and at the very least has a more commanding presence and is around and has a little more like nuance in terms of like characterization too, which is cool, and I'm into that.
I saw in the chat here after when we were talking, glancing over here, people like, oh, 3 hours, ouch. No, 3 hours for the storyline of the eagle. There, if you're doing everything on Iki Island, I'm still doing that. I would say, I'm approaching, I mean, grand total, probably I'm at 7 hours right now. And that's me farting around the island, running around doing stuff, remembering how good, I mean, this is all you know, taking or putting in the back seat how much fun it is to play Ghost, how cool that combat system is. One of the summaries of obviously much longer reviews talked about thinking on your feet. The enemies you're fighting on Iki actually switch their stances the same way you switch yours. So like you have to be on the ball of, all right, cool, you're in sword stance, then they switch over to the big pole, you have to switch over to the big pole, keep switching all that. I'm enjoying it. I can't wait to get back to more of it. But to what you were saying, Tam, and what I've talked about on the review, right? Like for me, there was enough downtime between Ghost and then Legends that when I got back to go to Legends, I was like, oh man, I'm rusty and I get it and this is cool, but I'm not really feeling it. Whereas now I feel like after multiple hours of Ghost and I still want to go and get all the trophies for Iki, then I'm going to be ready to roll into Legends and be like, cool, I know what I'm doing and I'm ready to go with that.
I'll play with you. Let's do this.
I mean, I know you're not joking at all, but this is the thing, you know, me, you, Goldfarb, even Sean, our whole Avengers crew that I talk about all the time seems down for this. So yeah, I'm totally down to get going.
I do need to get into Wakanda as well this weekend.
So. Well, that was my thing too. Is before we, you know, say we're gonna go play a lot of Ghosts. Yeah, remember, we are getting Kevin into Avengers. He has it downloaded. Joey's gonna come play too because Lauren's playing. We have new people coming to the crew. Tam.
Okay, this is good.
We got to make sure Kevin has a good time.
This is good. Don't worry about it, Kevin. We'll have a great time.
When do you want to play Avengers?
I'm sorry. What was that?
When do you want to play Avengers? Me and Tam are here.
I got a busy. Well, I mean, we could do it on stream on Saturday if you want.
Good point. I like that. I like your heads out on that one. Remember 12-hour stream, right? Or is it one of the subathon streams? I don't even know. I work here. I don't know what's happening.
I mean, like, let's just see how far the kids can take it, you know? A bunch of cowards.
Here's what I'll say. If the kids can take it till 9 o'clock, I'll get on for the late shift and I'll play Avengers. Don't worry about it. Number two in the Roper Report.
I'll do anything the kids tell me to.
Exactly. Well, you don't even sleep anymore, right? Yeah. Who knows? You're in this weird time frame that doesn't make any sense to you.
No.
I think midnight, you know, 9 o'clock, what is that, like 5 in the morning for you?
Yeah, but, you know, the other day I was like up at 4 a.m. playing Valorant for some reason. So who knows what's going on anymore.
Tam's a real gamer. He's got it in his blood, all right?
Big gamer hours.
Yeah. Number two on the Roper Report, let's talk about Cyberpunk 2077 DLC details. We'll go to GameSpot, where Jeremy Winslow writes, developer CD Projekt Red has pulled back the curtain on Cyberpunk 2077's first batch of free DLC, but they're not as substantial as you might expect. During a Twitch live stream, several CDPR employees broke down what's new inside the third-person shooter's latest update. Alongside discussing the changes in patch 1.3, the studio showcased the four new pieces of content. Two jackets, one car, and an alternative outfit for Johnny Silverhand. All four pieces of DLC can be accessed in the game's main menu under the additional content tab. The two jackets, both of rare/iconic qualities, are available in V's apartment after completing the ride mission. Meanwhile, the Archer Quartz Bandit car can be purchased after finishing Ghost Town. You can check out screenshots of all four pieces over on GameSpot.com. CDPR senior level designer Miles Toast, great name by the way, clarified that these add-ons are small for a reason. Patch 1.3 is Cyberpunk 2077's biggest update to date, according to Toast, so the DLCs function as kind of a sweetener for the tea. As such, bigger, more substantive expansions for the game are coming later. Quote, this patch is our biggest to date, Toast said during the live stream. We're put a lot of effort into this one. Probably we, but that's what they wrote. We put a lot of effort into this one. So consider the DLC. Tam, go into your back end and make sure you correct that quote for me.
Yeah, right? I'm gonna have a quick look at this. Apologies.
We've put a lot of effort into this one. So consider the DLCs that we have now as sort of goodies, sort of cherries on top. The reality, of course, and we've talked about this in the past, is that we differentiate a bit between different kinds of extra content, between DLCs, additional items of which we will have plenty coming down the road. And of course, the giant expansion passes, which we will have something to say about later, end quote. This mirrors the studio's approach to The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, which saw 16 pieces of free DLC before receiving its two massive expansions in 2015 and 2016. CD Projekt Red called this method out in September 2020 with the president, Adam Kaczynski, saying Cyberpunk 2077 DLC would follow a similar trajectory. Senior quest designer Patrick Mills said during the live stream that some DLC for Cyberpunk 2077 will be bigger than others and all would be free, but they wouldn't match the scope of the larger add-ons the studio has planned. CD Projekt Red didn't specify what these expansions are. However, Mills said that what the team is working on is, quote, cool and will cost players some money. An exact release date for patch 1.3 and these free add-ons was not revealed. CDPR said fans can expect it to hit Cyberpunk 2077 in the near future.
Just once, I want to see a developer go, yeah, we're working on DLC. Absolutely shite.
Shit sucks. Listen, we're just trying to get it done. All right. It sucks or it sucks. It will cost you. It's cool. And it will cost you some money. Imagine like that E3 presentation. Like, what have you been asking about a remodeled PS5? I can confirm we're working on it. It's cool. And they put it up as like a bullet point. And it will cost you some money. Tam, what was your, I don't even know. What was your experience with Cyberpunk?
So I got it before it was released. I didn't have particularly good internet in my apartment in the East Bay. It took me like an entire day to download it, and then I was like, all right, I'm gonna play this game. Just as I fired it up, it was like, we've released a 50 gig patch for it. So I was like, okay, I'll download this new version of it. Downloaded the new version, started playing, got through like the first few missions, the origin story. I was like, great, I got a nice grasp of the intro, come back to it tomorrow. Next day, 50 gig patch. I was like, okay, I'm done with this. So I just left it, and I was like, I'll come back to this when they're done, when it's in a good place. And they released the patch the other day, and like I went on Reddit, and the first thing I saw was like, just patched the game, fired it up, and everyone is falling through the ground infinitely. And I was like, okay, so they're not done with fixing this yet. I own it on PlayStation 5 and on PC, but I'm excited to play that game, but I feel like the further we get away from it, the less interest I have in checking it out. I'm waiting for them to be like, okay, it's good now, you can all jump in, or I'm waiting for word of mouth to say that.
I wonder if that will ever happen, though. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, yeah, there's the fact of Cyberpunk being a trash fire for PS4 PS4 and Xbox One when it launches, right? And obviously just the bugs in general. But even to peel all that away, like as somebody who platinumed it, playing the PS4 version on PS5, right? Like, I never think about Cyberpunk. And when I say that, I mean, I never think about like, oh, like when I think of like Fallout 3, I can rattle off stories, you know what I mean? Yeah, of like, oh, when I did this, or when I met that character, when this happened, blah, blah. And this one is like, oh, well, the funeral scene was cool. I like that. And then, you know, I really liked Pan Am. She was cool. I romanced her. Like, that was my relate. But it's not like, you know, my goofy ass looking character that I could ever make look cool, because of course you couldn't like lock styles. So it was just Kevin running around in a trench coat. No offense, Kevin. It was like, you know what I mean? Like, it, I just don't think I enjoyed playing that game and eating it, but I ate it like junk food. Whereas like, you know, somebody's like, oh, talk about the best meals of your life. I'm not like, oh man, McDonald's this one time.
I think this could be, yeah, I'm exactly the same. And I wonder, this could be a really interesting opportunity for PlayStation Plus or Game Pass. Like, I wonder if like, but it would involve like CDPR having to, you know, make some concessions, or even like take a hit to the ego to put their game on there after doing all they have done to it. But like, you could really, if I was Phil Spencer, I'd be like, yo, put it on our thing, and I guarantee you, we'll give you this bag of money.
We can turn it around.
We can like make this shit pop again. I wonder if there is going to reach a point where CDPR feels confident in it, and then that's when one of these major platform holders swoops in and is like, give it away on our thing, and you will get a bump out of it. And then that's when they, you know, for a month, and then people play it, and they're like, oh, it's really good. And then people are starting to buy it all over again and check it out.
Finally. Yeah, yeah. Wait, time it with the next gen updates, right? If you're going to have Series X, you know, flying or whatever, put it out there. But even then, it's like, you know, like, I know this isn't the major expansions they're talking about, right? But I wonder when the major expansions come, if I'm going to care. Like, is that going to be, am I going to re-download it, you know, go in? Like, my character, at the end of, you know, platinuming that game, right? I was talking to Golfer about this last night. It, you know, you're so overpowered, like, to the point where it's not fun. Because it is, like, I remember I had been a hacker the entire way, but by the time I was done platinuming it, it was that I had a, you know, amazing shotgun. And it would be, I would just run in, bah, 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 and like, people are shooting me, and I'm like bulletproof pretty much. And like, that's, sure, it's a power fantasy, right? But at some point when that breaks, and it just doesn't feel like I'm in that world anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Like, there's so, it's such a shame the way that game went. And the most interesting part of it is like, when CDPR was finished with The Witcher, it felt like a line drawn in the sand, where they were like, we absolutely killed it with The Witcher. We're going forward, and we've got this bold new vision for a brand new franchise. And they were quite, like, there was a period where they were quite confident and assertive about not going back to The Witcher, because they felt like they were on top of the world, and this new thing was going to be the thing that is their new future.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're now looking back and being like, time to go back to old Geralt, because
guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, like, there has been rumblings about a new Witcher game for a little bit, but like, I wonder how quickly they pivot back to it. It's really interesting. The other thing is, like, I would love to see them take another crack at Cyberpunk. Like, maybe in another game. Like, it's not unheard of to have a kind of shaky first game and then follow up by succeeding, you know, the Assassin's Creed story.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I just feel like the earth is salted on this game. Like, you know what I mean? That's what we're talking about. Like, you'd have to No Man's Sky it in such an interesting way. But I feel like even then, this has been such a ridiculous, crazy story at every turn. The developer that could do no wrong, fucking all this up, you know, putting this thing out, betraying their trust. The game doesn't even run. It's delisted on PlayStation. There's all this stuff coming out about stocks and how they're sharing money over there and all this crap. Like, it's just ridiculous.
It is rough. That's rough. They've definitely, as well as fixing the game and improving it, they've also got like a little reputation building to do again. And all I'm saying is, quickly remake Witcher 1 on using the 3 engine. Stick it out, you'll be fine. All good.
Interesting. That is an interesting. That's a very, very interesting way to get around all that, right? Yeah. To go back and break those games down.
Yep.
Damn, you might have $1 million idea right there.
It's a shame I can't use it.
Number 3 on the Roper Report. Let's talk about some QuakeCon leaks. We're going over to IGN.com, where Jared Moore has 2 different bullet points for you. We'll start with number 1. Ahead of this year's QuakeCon, a version of the Doom Slayers collection for Nintendo Switch has seemingly been leaked by Best Buy. A store page for the game can be found on Best Buy, which includes a game overview and price, but no box art. The page also includes a release date for the title, which, if accurate, is apparently September 2nd. The Doom Slayers collection is already available for console players on the PS4 and Xbox One. It includes the original 1993 classic Doom, as well as the subsequent re-releases within the series, Doom 2, Doom 3, and 2016's Doom. Unlike the PS4 and Xbox One edition of the game, however, the Switch iteration listed on Best Buy also states that it will include Doom 64, which was re-released last year. The listing, which features a retail price of $49.99, comes in advance of this week's QuakeCon, suggesting a potential unveiling of Doom Slayers Collection during the event. The possible leak isn't the first to take place in the build-up to the convention either. We recently reported that the original upload of this year's QuakeCon schedule suggested that a revitalized edition of id Software's classic FPS Quake could be announced during a panel. Speaking of it, your next bullet point: Quake has been rated by the ESRB for PC, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, PS5, and Nintendo Switch. This leads to further evidence of the idea that Quake remastered of a re-release will be announced at QuakeCon later today. Additionally, a Reddit user, SuperLordX, has noted that Quake on Steam recently had a beta branch update, further suggesting that Quake announcement is on the way. And while we've been live, ladies and gentlemen, you can see that they're going over there. Oh shoot, I refreshed over here, but it was Nibel had it up. Let me click on Nibel. We're gonna get him back up.
Yeah,
there's it's popping off basically right now while we're talking. Here it is. Quake is now being listed on the Microsoft Store. Up to 4K widescreen resolution support, enhanced models, new lighting, anti-aliasing, DOF, original soundtrack, includes the original expansion and a new one by Machine Games. Oh yeah, and a local and online multiplayer. The Quake Remastered also supports crossplay, xCloud support, only for Game Pass Ultimate members, and mods. Quake 64 will be available for launch. It appears that Quake will shadow drop later today on all platforms. And then Nibel follows up again: Quake on eShop, Quake on PSN. So it is happening, ladies and gentlemen.
Popping off. You love to see it.
QuakeCon. Wouldn't even know it was happening, Tam. Wouldn't even know that's a thing right now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the QuakeCon has been kind of low-key for the last few years. And it's kind of a shame because they have a lot of... I'm excited that Quake is coming back, but I wish it was in a more meaningful way. Like, I hate to be that person who, like, gets something, is given something that they want, and then is like, oh, I wish it was better. But, you know, I only say it because... Like, yeah, I only say it because, like, look at what they did with Doom. Like, sure. Doom came out and they were like, it revitalized that franchise in such a major way. And I just feel like Quake is primed to get that same kind of treatment. And it has a fan base that's as fervent and as into it as the Doom one is. And, you know, putting id Software and Machine Games on this is, like, cool. But I feel like there's more to be done there. Maybe this is just like the precursor to something more meaningful.
That would be my thing, is I think this is the precursor. I think they know that, and I think especially now that they're under the Xbox umbrella, right? It's like, cool, make us an awesome Quake. You know what I mean? What do you want that to be? What do you like? What if it was a Quake Battle Royale, right? Like, go ahead and like tinker around and fuck with that. Go do that.
It's weird because they I do think like this could be the precursor to that, but then they've had precursors to this before where they like Quake Live was a thing that existed for a little while and they've been like plugging away at it, and it's weird that they're now coming to the original games, but I'm glad they are because those games are excellent and they are I don't know if they hold up super well, but I'm excited to check it out. And I do wonder, I'm interested to see how the modern audience of video gamers takes to Quake and whether it still packs a punch in the same way that it used to. It's a lot of fun. Or if it's just going to be us like old heads just waxing nostalgia with Quake again on PC.
That's what you're talking about, which I think is so fascinating, is that Quake was never a thing for me. But I remember when Quake was the thing, and I especially remember coming to IGN and being the young kid and all the old guys there, old guys, you know, the 30-year-olds at IGN when I started and was 22 or 3 or whatever. Like, oh, I remember when we would do this and bring in all our computers and play Quake over here and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's like such a cool memory for them, but it wasn't a cool memory that I had any touchstone to. And I feel like, honestly, most gaming people don't right now either.
Yeah, it is. I just remembered a memory of my one, which is like when I worked at computerandvideogames.co.uk in the UK, CVG, which is like the world's first gaming magazine, and there was an online portion of it. The IT department at that company was militant about not having like having video games on PC, like just hanging out on non-gaming PCs, so your work PCs. And we all like to play Quake in the lunchtime. So instead, we had a folder that they never caught called Documents 3 Arena instead of Quake 3 Arena. Fooled all those idiots. Easy. No problem.
Right time. There's no way they can ever see through that.
No, they'll never figure it out. But yeah, I'm excited to see. Quake is kind of funny because like these days, not only... It's like the primordial soup of competitive multiplayer games, right? Like, I think of it in the same way as, like, I talked about this on another thing where it's like Akira, like the anime Akira or the movie, the manga, whatever it is. You watch a movie today and you don't see it for what it is. You just see it for the things that it influenced. So instead of watching Akira, you're watching a music video that referenced it or like a comic that referenced it. And then like it doesn't have the impact that it would have had if you were experiencing it at the time. I feel like Quake is similar, where there's so many like Quake inspired games or multiplayer games as a whole that have taken ideas from Quake, and it's become commonplace these days. So the idea of a modern audience playing Quake, I feel like they're just going to get, oh, this is just a collection of references to things I've played since Quake existed, or in my day, and the things that have defined my tastes. And it kind of feels old because of that.
We're going to give the gold star to Druvenator, who writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames while we're live with this question and says, whoa, whoa, whoa. Question for Greg and Tam. Mm-hmm. Machine Games announced/will announce a new expansion for Quake. That's crazy. Do you think that might tie into a new Quake made in collaboration with Machine Games? Ooh. We're talking about how Machine Games, of course, revitalized Doom. Wait, no, Wolfenstein. Could they work that same magic here for Quake?
Wow, interesting. The fact that they're announcing a new expansion. So here's what I would love. So people came to Doom, and the thing that was unexpected about Doom, like gameplay, absolutely top notch. The flow to it, the kind of like mechanically how it felt, so satisfying. But I think that really the thing that really gave that the revitalization of Doom and Doom Eternal was the story, right? And the world building. Mm-hmm. It's very, very like elaborate and intricate and really interesting, and they did an amazing job with it. Quake, again, has a world, has a story, not really known for it. I would love to fire up that new expansion and suddenly it's very story heavy. It still looks like old Quake, but for some reason it's like very driven by narrative and characters, and it's like laying the foundation for what's going to come next. So this is kind of like the bridge into the proper revitalization of Quake in the same way that Doom 2016 was for that game. I would be well up for that. That would be so cool.
Interesting.
The Quake Slayer.
Quake Slayer. Number 4 on the Roper Report. CES is going to require a vaccination. This is an official press release from CES. We're excited to reconvene the technology industry in Las Vegas and experience the magic of CES with you. Over 1,000 companies, including major brands and startups, have already committed to be in Las Vegas. CES 2022 will feature the latest tech innovations, including space tech, food tech, and NFTs. Jesus, count me in as not wanting to go to this fucking
thing. Yeah, absolutely. No, thank you.
Audiences will hear from industry leaders like, during live keynotes, including General Motors Chair and CEO Mary Barra and T-Mobile CEO Mike Sievert. Safety, security, and health are a priority at CES. For CES 2022, we will require all in-person attendees to provide proof of COVID-19 vaccination. Based on today's science, we understand vaccines offer us the best hope for stopping the spread of the virus. While we are still more than 5 months from CES 2022, we are sharing this information early to give you time to plan. CES 2022 will follow state and local guidelines and recommendations by the CDC for masking and other protocols. Masks are currently required in public indoor spaces in Las Vegas. We will regularly update the CES website about it with the latest information. Tam, are you shocked?
Oh my God. So, I mean, I'm not shocked that they're going to require evidence of vaccination at all. But like at this point, I'm like, who's going to CES? Who's excited about CES? other than people who are like flogging their wares. Like CES, I respect people who are excited about CES and are into tech, but I don't know. There's something about it that I'm like, I'm cool for now. There's nothing exciting in tech. Like we've been offered the opportunities and we have gone to CESs in the past, but it's usually been like, oh, we're in the like, you know, the cutting edge or we're on the cusp of major changes in technology. It was like flat screen TVs were getting bigger and like there were foldable flat screen TVs and, you know, chipsets were getting tiny and there was good reason to be excited about going to them. These days it's like, hey, we've got a new fridge. It's got a screen on it. We've cool. got NFTs. Do not care one NFTs. Don't get me started about NFTs. NFTs are just like the worst thing in modern civilization, as far as one of the worst things in modern civilization. Just the worst stuff. I hate it. Every time I see the word NFT, I just get unreasonably.
It's got to blow over soon, right? This fad's got to be gone.
I don't.
We can't
think
really
so.
Be talking about the you know your thing own is, screenshot, right?
Yeah, the thing is, like, it's propped up by rich people who are using this as a way to, you know, fleece other people who are going to get caught into the idea of NFTs. And they're like people of in prominent positions or people who have some sort of following, like artists and that kind of stuff. And yes, there are opportunities to make money. And for artists especially, make money in interesting new ways, make a lot of money in interesting new ways. But for the most part, it's just rich people doing rich people shit to get even richer. And I'm just like, get out of my face.
Get out of my face.
Yeah. NFT stands for not flipping.
Not for Tam.
Yeah. There you go. I love it. Thank you.
I remember everybody, ladies and gentlemen, please go get vaccinated. If you're 12 or older and haven't received a COVID vaccination, you can text your zip code to 438829 to find a free vaccine near you. At many locations, no appointment is needed. And you can get free rides with Uber and or Lyft there and back.
I have it on good authority that all the coolest people are vaccinated.
That's
all
true.
Of them. That's so true.
Jennifer Aniston won't hang out with you unless you're vaccinated. So if you ever want to hang out with Jennifer Aniston, you gotta be careful. You gotta get it.
I'm like 99% sure Wesley Snipes is vaccinated. I'm pretty
sure. Taxes though.
Let's not talk about that.
Lesson learned at this point, right?
Yeah, lesson learned. Also, like, you know what? Yeah, I'm not going to say anything bad about taxes while I'm trying to get back into America, but you know, taxes are an interesting thing.
Well then, while we skillfully dodge that, let me tell you about patreon.com/kindafunnygames. It's been described as cool and will cost you some money, but over on patreon.com/kindafunnygames, of course, you can use it to write into the show just like Druvenator did live. You can use it to get the show with the exclusive post show we do each and every weekday, and of course, you could do it to get the show ad-free. But speaking of ads, Greg Way, you didn't go to patreon.com/kindafunnygames today, so let me tell you about our sponsors. This episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Canva Pro. Making content is an essential part of what I do to keep this show going, but it hasn't always been a seamless creative process. Of course, I just get to come on here and yell at you, but somebody's got to make graphics, lower thirds, little things that pop up and go whoopity whoop whoop. Raj is making stuff right now. Make it go, Raj. Whoopity whoop whoop. How does Raj know how to do that? How does Tim know how to do that? They use Canva Pro. Of course, Canva Pro is a design platform that empowers you to create and share stunning content in just a few clicks. Whether you're a design professional or just getting started, designing with Canva Pro is amazingly fast and fun. Choose from thousands of professionally made templates that are easy to customize with simple drag and drop features or start from scratch. Canva Pro comes with endless premium fonts, photos, videos, and so much more that add personality and edge to whatever you're designing. Design like a pro with Canva Pro. Right now, you can get a free 45-day extended trial when you use our promo code. Just go to canva.me/KFGD and get your free 45-day extended trial. That's canva.me/KFGD. Canva.me/KFGD. Our next sponsor? Well, it's HBO Max. This episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is sponsored by HBO Max. Many of us are plumbing the depths of streaming platforms, searching for something new to watch, looking for an entertainment fix. And if that's true for you, boy, do I have a suggestion. HBO Max has same-day movie premieres of the biggest movies of 2021 every single month. Yeah, that's right. The biggest Warner Brothers Pictures releases will be available in your theater and your living room same day. Of course, we just lived through Suicide Squad, right? James Gunn, The Suicide Squad. You know what? A bunch of people went and saw it in theaters. I stayed home with Jen. We watched it here on HBO Max. We had a great time. Suicide Squad and so many others will be available, are available, whatever you want to say, in theaters and on HBO Max for a limited time and at no extra charge to subscribers. Release dates, of course, are subject to change. So get on it and sign up for HBO Max at hbom.ax/KFGD. Again, that is hbom.ax/KFGD. Our next sponsor, it's KiwiCo. KiwiCo is defining the future of play by making it engaging, enriching, and seriously fun. Super cool hands-on projects and toys designed to expose kids to concepts in STEAM, that's science, technology, engineering, art, and math, are a great resource for learning at home. And you might say, hey, Greg Miller, aren't you about to have a kid? That's right, person. That's why I have my first KiwiCo crate right here. It's the Panda Crate, which, of course, as you can see right here, maybe you can't, says ages zero to plus 0+ months. So as you open it up and you see, bam, look, today I'm 1 month old. When you see this on my Instagram, my child, this pillow with the month card in there, you, not only will you know how many months old my child is, you'll know KiwiCo. KiwiCo wants kids to be fearless innovators and design projects to help them develop that muscle. If you want to sign up for KiwiCo, it is simple. You can do it and support us. You can go to kiwico.com/kindoffunnygames to get 50% off your first month. That's kiwico.com/kindoffunnygames to get 50% off your first month. KIWICO.com/kindoffunnygames to get 50% off your first month. Let me swaddle you.
Tam, I'm excited for my baby to get here so I can use some of this KiwiCo stuff I just told you. But my baby's so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday, baby.
Yeah. Out today, ladies and gentlemen, Rims Racing is on PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X/S, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Uoni is on PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X/S, Xbox One, and PC. Recompile is on PS5, Xbox Series X/S, and PC. Synthetic 2 is on PC. 12 Minutes is on Xbox Series X/S, Xbox One, and PC. You can catch the Games Cast review right now on YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames, and of course you can catch the XCast recording live tomorrow, posting everywhere Saturday, where we will be doing a second half of the show that is a 12 minutes spoiler cast. Monster Harvest is on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Monster Train First Class is on Switch. Rush Rally Origins is on Switch. Zombo Buster Advance is on Switch. Busan's what?
Oh, coffee
is on Switch. It's spelled different. Thea 2, The Shattering is on Switch. Where is Samantha is on Switch, which is a sequel, of course, to Help Coco. Sakura Succubus 4 is on Switch. Metal Commando is on Switch. Never Return is on PC. And then Jessica is out today on Switch. That's that FMV game we'd seen a long time ago that I want to see.
New dates for you. Struggling is on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One on September 8th. Siberia, The World Before, will be released on PC on December 10th. Despot's Game is on Steam Early Access October 14th, but there's an open beta testing starting today. And then NHL 22 will come to PS5, Xbox Series X, as well as PlayStation 4 and Xbox One on October 15th. Now, let's get into a question from the one, the only, the Kyle Fedenu. Kyle writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "Hey team, hope you're having a great day, and you can let me go off on EA Sports games for a minute. Kyle, you have the floor. Today, NHL 22 was announced, and like all the other EA Sports titles this year, the game won't have cross-play or even cross-gen. Parentheses. Technically, you'd own both gens if you buy the special edition, though it's not clear to me if I can play the last-gen version on current-gen consoles." Back to the question. "I really don't understand the decision-making here. EA has been going cross-play with other titles. Why not sports titles? Especially when you look at other success slash sales like the MLB The Show had this year, and it's on Game Pass. Personally for me, NHL 22 not being cross-gen is a huge blow. NHL is the fourth most popular franchise and has a very small player base as it is. Removing cross-gen is just going to make it even smaller and probably the worst decision EA could make for the NHL franchise. I honestly don't see myself buying this game again. I'd love to hear what you think and when you think EA will, if ever, adopt cross-play for its sports titles. Thanks, Kyle." Have you kept abreast of this situation with NHL 22?
I haven't kept abreast of the situation with NHL 22 specifically. However, if I had to hazard a guess, I would say it will come down. Most people are going to be like, money, money, money. And yes, there is probably an element of that. But I also suspect it has something to do with contracts. In terms of the licenses as well, in terms of one, the NHL, or whether it's FIFA or whatever it may be, and then the specific licenses for players. Usually in these scenarios, there's usually a very specific stipulation of where these players or where the overall licenses for the NHL or FIFA or UEFA, appear. And I imagine that in a lot of cases, they're like forward thinking to a degree as well, where it's like, oh, we'll have it on the lifetime of the PlayStation 4, et cetera, et cetera. And with the advent of new consoles, there's probably some reworking or renegotiating that is required to make it that you can do that.
I like where your head's at, because that does happen a lot. But I think it's just the engine. I'm going to go to IGN.com, where Cat Bailey reports NHL 22 announced for next-gen consoles with a new engine and other enhancements. NHL 22 will be skating. It seems like there should be more to that. NHL 22. NHL 22 will be skating to the Xbox Series X/S and PS5 in October, EA announced today, making the Hockey Sims debut on the new console generation. In doing so, it will transition to the Frostbite engine, joining Madden and FIFA on EA's proprietary engine. The engine update is a long time coming. Where FIFA transitioned to Frostbite in 2016 and Madden made the move the year after, NHL steadfastly stuck with the Ignite engine, introduced at the beginning of the PS4 and Xbox One generation. Doing so allowed it to avoid the myriad of tech issues suffered by Madden and FIFA, but also left it looking noticeably dated. So I do believe this is just an inevitable shift to the new engine they needed to do, which is why, of course, you wouldn't be able to go through and actually do cross-gen support. I'm going through Kat's article here to see and make sure I'm right on this. Yeah. However, NHL will not include GM Connected, the online league system that was cut in the move to the PS4 and Xbox One. For the previous generation version, Kwong, who's in this article, says that there will be full feature parity between the last generation and current generation versions, with the Xbox One and PS4 version also moving to Frostbite engine. Similar to Madden and FIFA, NHL 22 will include a dual entertainment system, meaning PS4 and Xbox One owners who pre-order the more expensive X-Factor edition will be able to update to the newer consoles for free. However, only Hockey Ultimate Team Progress will be transferable, with the various career modes being locked to whatever console you're starting on. So no explanation really there for what the reasoning would be of why it's happening that way. But I would imagine it's just some weird tech issue.
Yeah, it's a shame that they don't go the extra mile. I mean, they have no reason to, because they make money hand over fist. But like, you know, offer something for people who are having to double dip, you know, a discount of some sort to prove that
I feel it and I understand it, but I also think it's just such a... This is the pain point this one time to move. And for all right, well, you know, even the upgrade thing, but it only takes over some of your progress. Oh, that sucks. But it's also like, well, when are you buying this game and when are you buying your next gen console? Because remember, like, they have 9 months to work on the next game, right? You're in a year, you're going to be back here buying the next NHL game. So why really go bend over backwards, go the extra mile to make this thing work for the small percentage of people that are going to be able to get an Xbox Series X and a PlayStation 5 to be able to do it?
Yeah,
but I do understand Kyle's point of like trying to get a player base together. As an Avengers player, I understand that.
Yep. Yep.
Deals of the day for you. Right now, you can get Psychonauts for $1. This is Otto over at GameSpot. Ahead of the launch of Psychonauts 2, players can catch up on the game's crude, mind-bending story by picking up Psychonauts for dirt cheap. The 2005 release is currently the cheapest game. The cheapest a game will usually go for before being free, costing just a buck. The discount is in effect for the next 5 days. Doesn't apply to every platform Psychonauts is listed on. Customers can pick up the game over on Xbox One or Xbox Series X/S on the Microsoft Store, as well as PC via Steam at its discounted price. On the PlayStation Store, however, Psychonauts still costs $10.
Still worth it. Still worth it at $10. If you can get it for one, get it. If you can only get it for 10, still good. I am the milkman. My milk is delicious.
Okay. Xbox
people,
free.
People know. People.
Yeah. Old people who played Psychonauts, they get it.
Yeah.
Xbox free play days. Hood Outlaws and Legends and I Am Bread are both available for Xbox Live Gold and Xbox Game Pass Ultimate members right now and going all the way until Sunday. On top of that, the Elder Scrolls Online Tamriel. I don't know why I know that word. Tamriel.
Oh,
unlimited.
Okay.
Not you, Tamriel. That's your full name. Unlimited is available now for an extended period from June 17th through Monday, August 30th. Tam?
I'm good.
Tamriel? You are good. You're great.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
Thank you. Did you ever get into that? You ever play the Elder Scrolls Online?
No, I tried it for a bit, and I was like, no, I'm good. I'm all right. Yeah. I could do with that. I don't need this right now. It seems like it's grown into a really, really... really good games. Everyone I know that does play it is like, this is like super, super good. Maybe I'll go back to it one of these days, but I'm currently working my way through Final Fantasy 14, so I don't need a second long-term game like that. And also I play Avengers and, you know.
Yeah, you do.
Too many long-term games.
You just need the one, Avengers. You mean Kevin, yeah. Right, Kevin?
Right.
100% boss, man.
Thanks, Kevin. Tam, we asked people who are watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. We only got one wrong today. It's from Katie G, who writes in and says, they didn't have pillows, but cavemen did sleep on beds of grass and ash up to a foot deep with the ash acting to deter insects.
That sounds rough.
Hey, man, they were cavemen. They had to do it. You know what I mean? They had saber-toothed tigers running around.
Yeah.
They had that car they had to push with their feet. That was tough. It was tough back then.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Batman became a caveman? That was a good time.
Remember that everybody thought he was dead, but he was actually
He was back in time, Omega sanctioned, and then worked his way back into Darkseid. Yeah, what a great run that was.
Comics, man. Anything can happen. Don't worry about it. Speaking of anything can happen here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Tomorrow we'll be back. It's going to be me and Ryan from Marvel. That's right. Agent M himself, Ryan Panagos, coming to join me to talk about the gaming news of the day. Remember right now, if you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we're going to do our reaction, our first live reaction to the Marvel's Eternals trailer that has dropped. None of us have watched it. I'm excited to see what it's all about and see Kumail and hopefully see more of his abs. After that, it's going to be Mike Blessing and Barrett playing more Metal Gear Solid 2. If you miss the Eternals, you can catch that later on youtube.com/kindoffunny. If you miss the Metal Gear Solid 2 playthrough, you can go to our newest YouTube channel, youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays, and get the video there. Tam, where can people keep up with you?
You can find me on Twitter at TomoH. If you want to see some of my work, you can go to GameSpot or GiantBomb.com, where I have a couple of new shows. One is called Born to Run. The other one is called The Very Online Show, which I do with Lucy James and Jeff Bakula. If you want to catch me doing some streaming, I'm at twitch.tv/TomoH. A lot of Kind of Funny best friends are in there whenever I play Out Wilds, and they're so good, so wholesome. It's always a good time. But if you want to come hang out, I do stream 3 times a week, usually on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays. So come hang out.
Come hang out with Tam. And if you want to keep hanging out with Tam, remember, he's going to come do the post show with us over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where the show keeps on rolling. You could get your name read. You could get the show ad-free. You could get exclusive shows like the Next Gen Podcast. Isn't that right, Roger Pokorny?
Yerp.
God. All right. There's a Twitch stream happening. There's other stuff going on. We're recording a Kind of Funny podcast. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.